Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for Sustainable Singapore, the segment written and produced by Rhianne Lovell-Bullen.
So did you know it's Singapore Climate Action Week, and it's organised by the Ministry of Sustainability and the Environment. The aim is to build broader public awareness of key issues in sustainability and climate change.
It's something that we do every Wednesday on Sustainable Singapore.
Yes, we do.
But, you know, let's get real now. We all know we can improve and we can do more when it comes to reducing our carbon footprint. But, you know, it's quite hard to tackle. Do you even know exactly how bad, you know, you're contributing to it?
Yeah, I mean, we can use the words carbon footprint, right? Mm. But do we really know what that means or what ours is?
Yeah, yeah.
For example, did you know that a return flight from Singapore to Hong Kong can lead to 1.2 tons of CO2?
Okay.
It's very hard to conceptualize that,
yeah.
Right? Well, there's an app. It's been launched earlier this year in January. It helps individuals and organizations track, reduce, and remove CO2 emissions from everyday life.
You know, I'm starting to think about how we have these apps and technology that help us track our steps, calorie intake, and all that sort of stuff. So imagine if you could do that for your monthly carbon emissions.
Yeah, only don't get slack on the 10,000 steps. Users first calculate their baseline emissions by inputting their journeys and food choices, and then they set a monthly reduction target of 7.6%.
Nice. That's as we would need to decrease emissions by 7.6% year on year between now and the year 2030 to meet that 1.5 degree warming goal.
Tracking is mostly automatic. It uses algorithms, and they also have a choice of verified offsetting projects to help users.
It's very interesting. And we are speaking to the co-founder of Capture this morning, Josie Stoker. Josie, good morning. How are you?
Hello, good morning, guys. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good. You're not a climate scientist, so tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get into this field? It's quite interesting.
Of course, yes. So in my previous role, I worked to bring CEOs and senior leadership teams out to learn from Indigenous communities about, you know, leadership and what's important. And I got to travel to places such as Mongolia, Kalimantan, Kenya. It was an awesome job. But a lot of the Indigenous communities that we were working with were, you know, really struggling to deal with the effects of climate change. And that could be things such as extreme weather events, droughts, wildfires, etc. I don't know about you guys, but I was always taught in school that climate change was something that was, you know, yes, it's there, but it was going to happen in the future. And I kind of realized, of course, you know, it's happening now, like it's already happening. And the tipping point for me was coming across this amazing website called Shame Plane. And it actually shows you how much Arctic ice one of your flights melts. So like a return flight from Singapore to Bangkok can melt like 1.5 square meters of Arctic ice. That's like per person. And yeah, kind of that all combined together, you know, really made me want to get involved in this area.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember very similarly. I remember learning once what it took, how much water it took to make me a single cup of coffee. And it's things like that that help you conceptualize your impact on the environment, doesn't it?
Mm.
Some have described the app as the Fitbit for your carbon footprint, but you've just described the inspiration for the Capture app. I mean, did you automatically know in your head, did you visualize this app and just say, oh, I know exactly what I need to do. I know how I'm going to reach people with this information.
Well, it was something that I was looking for myself, and it's something that I know a lot of other people we're looking for as well. So it's sort of that challenge that you guys mentioned at the beginning, right? So many people care about this topic and an increasing number of people are caring, but it's actually really hard to know, you know, what to do, where to start, what difference you can make. And we saw like technology has helped us so much in things like, you know, healthy lifestyles and eating and sleeping and all sorts of things. Like, why can't this happen, you know, for our carbon footprints as well? So yeah, it was pretty much as simple as that. You know, we wanted to help people who wanted to make a difference to climate change.
Okay, then it's time to put you on the spot, Josie. What's your monthly carbon footprint?
Okay, I've got two, right? I think a lot of people might have this at the moment. I've got my pre-COVID one.
Okay.
And then I have like my post-COVID one.
Oh,
interesting. So in terms of my sort of target kind of carbon footprint per month, it's now 606 kilograms per month. But pre-COVID, when I was flying, like a lot of other people were for work, it was around 1,500 per month. So, it obviously not flying has made a significant difference.
That's more than half. That's probably on average what people like you and I are putting out per month.
Yeah. So then the question becomes, is your carbon footprint hasn't necessarily changed. And I suppose this is the case where let's just multiply this out for most people.
Okay,
Elliot and myself included. Our carbon footprints have all come down, but it wasn't necessarily because we were climate conscious. It's because we were forced to keep still, to stay at home. I mean, I know in the last few months, I probably would have traveled overseas at least 3 times, but that hasn't happened. Do you think that this is a real opportunity, though, to make people more aware then?
Definitely. I think there are pros and cons here, right? Like a lot of people, you know, the standard thing around like lockdown has happened and the sky's cleared and like you guys have seen the dolphins in Venice and all of those photos were like, brilliant, you know, climate change is sorted, like it's fine, we've got this, everything's going to be okay. And then what we've seen is, you know, scientists have sort of come back and explained that this year, and obviously it's difficult to say because the industry is bouncing back up now, but this year, globally, we could be on track for a reduction in emissions by 8%. And it's like, hang on a minute, like we did so much, the whole world stopped traveling, but emissions have only gone down by 8%. So then I'm hoping, and we're seeing this happen, people are asking, okay, well, but what else is going on here? You know, like, yes, you know, travel is important, but there are loads of other things. You know, food is still being produced. Mm. Energy is still being produced to sort of heat buildings or, you know, work our air conditioning units. So, yes, I very much hope that now we're becoming to sort of also see what's possible, you know, what we really can do when we rise together to a global challenge.
We're speaking with Josie Stoker, who is co-founder of Capture on Sustainable Singapore this morning. But Josie, it's one thing to target individuals, get everyone to download the app on their smartphone and whatnot. But what about the corporates? What about the big organizations, the guys that can really make a difference? What is your approach to them?
So when it comes to working with organizations, what we're doing here at Capture is creating a tool that helps companies to build and engage a planet-friendly workforce. So for some types of organizations, emissions created by employee travel can, or indeed, you know, were making up 80% plus of the emissions of that business. So let's say you're in the consulting industry and you're flying consultants around the world. Emissions from flights are going to make up the majority of your emissions as an organization. So, but for those companies, tracking emissions live can be incredibly useful. And then indeed, every company, getting your employees, you know, engaged in sustainability is incredibly important. And we're seeing, you know, much more demand these days for people to work at a company that aligns with their values. More people are caring about climate change. More people are expecting their organizations to sort of rise to their beliefs as well. So yeah, basically what we do, you know, practically speaking, is we help everybody in a company to download Capture. We have a secure company area. We've got leaderboards and planet-friendly commitments. And you know, we try to gamify the experience and make it, you know, positive and satisfying for people too.
Of course, one of the things, Josie, that corporates have been doing is carbon offsetting. And then, you know, for example, you used to be able to offset carbon through, you know, your airline, but then the airline facilitates that, right? But there are pros and cons to carbon offsetting. Can you just walk us through them?
Yes, absolutely. So to clarify, basically carbon offsetting, you can think of it like the purchase of a service. So you pollute one ton of CO2 or carbon emissions, that's a greenhouse gas, right? You pollute one ton, you pay somebody to either reduce or remove that equivalent one ton of emissions on your behalf. So you can do that through simple things like tree planting, you know, forest conservation, you can fund renewable energy projects, but it's sort of like purchasing that ticket, right? And the main cons of carbon offsetting is, just as I say, you purchase a ticket and it kind of, sometimes people can feel like it lets them off the hook and say, okay, well, you know, it's fine. I'm going to be able to continue these polluting behaviors. I'll just offset at the end. And it's not quite as simple as that. You know, whilst you're sort of continuing more of those behaviors, you know, those greenhouse gases are still in the environment. And if you plant a tree, even if you were to plant a tree today, it can take sort of 10, 15, 20 years before that tree starts removing, you know, decent amounts of CO2. So the con is, you know, it can let people off the hook. And obviously that's why you want to understand and reduce emissions first, then carbon offset rather than the carbon offset first. But the positive of all of this, it's that it's, you know, it's basically helping bring more money towards renewable energy projects and conservation projects. And right now, you know, obviously the more we can do, the better on both the reduction and removal fronts.
I mean, just getting at this off the hookness, I mean, what it also does is, and I guess it's the same thing, is it makes it someone else's problem to deal with the carbon. And that means we don't stay personally connected to the problem. In fact, it's all of our problem, right? And I guess that's what Capture does in a really good way, is it brings it up close and personal.
Absolutely, yes. And I mean, we, you know, you guys sort of mentioned at the beginning around the fact that together as a planet, we need to reduce emissions by 7.6% year on year to meet the 1.5 degree warming goals by 2030, right? So what we wanted to do is to make that 7.6% target personal to you and also to meet you wherever you're at, because carbon footprints drastically different depending on, you know, where you are in the world. So you have things such as, you know, the global average sort of carbon footprint is around 5 tons. The average Singaporean carbon footprint is around 8 tons. In the USA, it's around 16 tons. And it really, really varies depending on, you know, where you're living, the kind of lifestyle you have. So we wanted to make that 7.6% reduction target personal for you and, you know, kind of meet people wherever they are on their journey, even if they're just sort of starting out and want to find out a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I mean, just voicing the unsaid, I have to admit, I still haven't watched An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's movie. It's exactly what, Josie, you're saying. One of the reasons I haven't is because it frightens me so much, the idea. It's just so overwhelming and colossal. So any opportunity for that to be broken down in a way that I can personally do my bit, I suppose, is very useful.
Yeah, of course. Actually, I was just thinking about the when you guys were discussing carbon offsetting, it reminds me of how when I come out of church and then I scold someone and say, no, I just went to church, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. But Josie, we tend to judge these apps, you know, based on downloads. I mean, you guys went live in January of this year. I'm curious, and I know there has been lockdowns all over the world. What's the uptake been? How many people are actually willing to take a look at their carbon footprint?
Yes, so COVID has been a slight curveball for us. So when we first made Capture, we were like, right, we're going to make an app that helps attract people's footprints for mobility. We launched Capture in January, and 3 months later, you know, everybody was told to stay at home. So yeah. I would love to claim all the carbon reductions, you know, thanks to Capture, of course. But yeah, it was slightly unlucky timing, but nonetheless, you know, we track other things apart from just travel. People are still moving around here and there. And what we've had since January is we just crossed the 10,000 downloads mark, which is a nice kind of, you know, milestone to track. But the important thing here actually is that we don't pay for any ads with Capture. So each of those 10,000 people are actually individuals who have gone to their app store and searched for carbon footprint tracker or CO2 calculator. So we know what's quite exciting for us is each of those people have had the thought themselves, I'm quite interested in tracking my carbon footprint, and have gone to find a tool that helps them do that. So we know the intention is there. You know, we've had good feedback from people saying that they are satisfied. We've had some feedback from people saying they're guilty and they never realize X, Y, and Z. Obviously, as an app, you want to help people feel more kind of positive and satisfied and hopeful rather than feeling guilty. So we're still working on that. We've got, you know, plenty more that we want to do and add to the app. But yeah, it's been a good start so far.
Okay. You said you've got plenty more that you want to do. And on that note, what does the future hold?
We want to improve the tracking experiences. So right now we track your CO2 emissions from food choices, whether that's high meat, low meat, a fish day, a vegan day, whatever it is. We help you track emissions from that, and we help you track emissions from your travel. But in the future, we want to help you track different things around your life, such as your home energy usage, spending on goods, services, you know, technology, fast fashion, all of that. We also want to add the community element to the app so that you're able to compete with your friends and sort of see how you compare to others. And then, of course, we're also starting to work with businesses. So we've got the first couple of clients starting with Capture for Teams this September. So, and yeah, of course, we hope to be growing our team soon as well.
Interesting, like gamification for climate change.
Yeah.
And people compete and they do better because people are competitive.
You on for a challenge? I'm on for a challenge.
Yeah. Let's challenge food choices. You're vegetarian. I'm a meat eater.
Let's see how we compare.
We know how that's going to turn out. We've been speaking with Josie Stoker, who is the co-founder of Capture. Josie, thank you so much for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.